This is the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Here we go. Hello and a happy Friday. Good morning to you all. 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mayor Michael Bloomberg in Studio 4 at WOR. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
I'm going to do my job.
I thought you did your job every day.
Well, that may be, but this time I'm going to get 3-4 days of good weather. How's that?
There you go, and you're going to take full credit for it.
I will. There's no question about that. I get blamed when it's bad. Why not take credit when it's good?
No, this is kind of like, not exactly, but almost the last weekend in the summertime. I mean, it's going to go out in glory.
Next to last. It's important we have good weather next weekend. Big weekend for people, beach, and that sort of stuff. And the West Indian Day Parade is on Labor Day, a week from Monday. So, and I promise the people that run that parade good weather. I always promise anybody that runs any parade good weather, and usually deliver.
All right,
about as well as randomness can get you.
You've been in the center of a lot of stuff this week since last we talked. We didn't get to talk last week, but I have to ask you: did you learn anything from Phil Mickelson?
He hits the ball a very long ways.
He's longer than you.
This is the third time I play with a guy. He is a very nice guy. He's interested in a lot of things, cares about schools. He's got three young kids. He's fun to play with. He talks to everybody. And, you know, I always, when I'm looking at a city and seeing it's a good city, I look at people as we drive by. Are they smiling when they're walking down the streets? And with people like Mickelson, the ways to judge him is not how good he is with you or how good a golfer, but is he nice to the fans and to the kids and that sort of thing? You can tell with someone just as a good person. This guy's a good person. He really is. I watched, he talked to everybody. He made sure he made a special. There were some kids there with special needs. He went over to make a point of taking a picture with them. Can't take a picture with everybody. He's got to play golf. But he picked out people that, you know, it was really a nice thing to do. I've got nothing but good things to say about him, except that he beats me up.
Well, exactly. He didn't help.
I've never seen anything like it. I mean, he just hits the ball further than you can see. He wanted to hit a couple balls into the woods to try a new driver.
Did he give you a tip? Because he watched you drive, and I've watched you drive, too.
He said, hit it better and harder. Thank you very much. But I watched him. He was going to hit two balls into the woods just to try this new driver. And so I watched him. He doesn't line up directly to the woods. He wind up at a diagonal. He hit it 300-plus yards into the woods. It's a different game.
Sounds like
you and I will never be Phil Mickelson.
No, that's true. Otherwise, you wouldn't be there, and I wouldn't be doing this. We'd go be playing golf.
This guy makes a lot of money, though.
He certainly does.
Do you get the kind of endorsements he gets?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. All right, let's talk about some less frivolous things. The attack on the cabbie, obviously horrific.
On
a lot of levels.
Yeah, attack on anybody, number one, is an outrage. You want to make sure people that live in the city are safe, people that work in the city are safe. When it's motivated by hatred or, I don't know what the other words are, discrimination, whatever, it somehow seems doubly bad, although a life's a life, and for whatever any reason. Thank God he's going to be okay. We had him at City Hall yesterday, and he showed me he's got a cut under his, throat that, you know, if it was a tiny bit deeper, he'd be dead. He showed me a cut on the side and on his forehead, I think. And he's a nice guy. He's got his wife was there with four kids, and she said to me, you realize in the end, it's all about taking care of your family. She said, I have these four young kids, and I've got to take care of them, but he can't work, and how can I go to work? But he'll be back very soon. He's a tough guy. And he comes from a group of people, first generation, no matter where in the world they come from. This is the land of opportunity. They come here for a better life, not so much for themselves, but for their kids. And the tradition in America always is first generation. They take jobs. They start out at the bottom, and they keep working and working and working. And everything's focused on the kids. And then it's the kids who have the real next generation. Kids can be president, mayor, whatever. And it's because then the parents teach them a work ethic. And then, unfortunately, sometimes we slowly over generations seem to lose that. And, of the people, somehow or other, I think we've got to remind ourselves of what's great about America, the values we have here, the freedoms we have here, and that those freedoms aren't elsewhere. And I love it. Some guy was complaining on the radio or television
I find that hard to
believe. I know. it's not this the mosque, the whole mosque issue. You can't build a church in Saudi Arabia. Why should they be allowed to build a mosque here? Because that's the difference between Saudi Arabia and here. I don't know if it's Saudi Arabia, but some other country. I don't mean to pick on Saudi Arabia.
I had exactly the same argument last weekend with somebody, and it turned out that was the reason that they thought that the mosque couldn't be built. Because, hey, they wouldn't let us build it. They have no tolerance for anything. And I looked at them, and I said, that's exactly the point.
They don't have a lot of things we have. There was one time, this is a true story, a long time ago, I was out in Seattle at a environmental conference, a bunch of mayors spoke, and some congressman said, we're not going to stop polluting until the Chinese stop polluting. And I said, Congressman, let me just understand this. Do you think we should continue to kill our people as long as they kill theirs? That's not an intelligent thing to do. And
tough to retort to that question.
It is tough to retort that. He was not happy. The fact that others can't do it and we can, we should keep reminding ourselves. You know, we send our young men and women overseas to fight and die sometimes, sadly, so that we can keep these freedoms. And I said, you know, one time the World Trade Center, firefighters didn't stop to ask where you came from or what religion or what other people from the country you came from or the religion you practice or, you know, was on the same bus as you the next day. So what? They just save lives. And that's why I think that, and I've talked to so many families of those who were lost and I know it's a very, you know, your heart goes out to people. They really care. The politicians, I think this is a disgrace.
That's
using
what you
this
said
issue.
On Stewart last
yeah.
night.
But the families, their emotions are genuine, whether you agree with them or not. Most families that I have talked to have said, and particularly the first responders who were lost, this is what they were. Why they went into those buildings.
One of the reasons they died, because they were...
Diana and I were having a hamburger, and this big hulking guy comes up, and can I talk to you? And I, you know, listen, that's my job. I talk, even if it's, I've got a hamburger in one hand and a beer in the other, and, you know, I like to enjoy it, but sure. And I like people. If you don't like people, this is not the right job for you. And he said, I want to talk to you about the mosque. And I'm thinking, oh, I need this. And he said, I just got back from two tours in overseas fighting. And he said, yeah, that's what we were fighting for. He said, you just keep going. This is exactly why we were sent overseas, why we volunteered to go overseas, and sadly why some of us didn't come back.
I spoke with one of the hard hat demonstrators of last Sunday on Monday this week, and we had a long discussion. And I let him express obviously his thoughts and what he was doing and what the message he wanted to convey at the demonstration. And after we got through all of this, it became perfectly evident that one of the factors in this whole mosque discussion is the frustration and the anxieties of the American people. We can focus on New Yorkers if you want, because of everything else, the economy,
absolutely,
the healthcare, all of the things that we think are out of our control.
If you go and look at the history of intolerance, it is dramatically higher during very tough economic times. People aren't anti-immigrant in countries until the economy turns down, and then they look. You know, Diana always says it's housing and jobs. My house, my job. And it's hard to explain, but for example, in America, it's probably true in other countries, but certainly in America, if we want to work ourselves out of our economic problems, we need more immigrants, not less. Everybody says, oh, no, we don't need more people to take jobs. Wrong. The people that you want to give visas to are people who will come here and create businesses. And you want people who will come here and create businesses that require the skill sets that the unemployed Americans have. So, for example, in America, we have a lot of high-tech jobs available. But those that are unemployed, on average, don't have the skill sets to take those jobs. They have skill sets that are suitable for other kinds of jobs. So you got to say, we want to create jobs, but You got to be the right kind of jobs. And the trouble is, the soundbite is, I'm going to stand up that you elect me and I'm going to create jobs. That's not what is needed. You've got to, you know, I always listen, you're going to create jobs. Okay, which jobs and how? Well, we're using the stimulus money. We save jobs. We sent the money to people are currently employed, because if we didn't do that, they would be unemployed. So that counts as creating a job.
That is the most twisted thinking, but it's been the word of the land.
Sure, that's the way government politics work, and we need more immigrants. We just have to focus on making sure the immigrants that we give visas to advance the goals that America has, and one of those goals clearly is getting Americans back to work. And so you want somebody to come over and create a small business, a store, a small factory, because a lot of the people that are unemployed have the skill sets for that. If you really want to worry about the future of this country, it gets back to the basic of education. The Holy Grail is still, and we keep measuring it again and again and again, and we talk about it, and fortunately New York won some of this Race to the Top money, and that'll help, and that's all good. But the objective is to get everybody a high school diploma. And then the second objective, which we are longer ways away from, is to make sure that high school diploma is such that if you were to go on to college, you don't need remedial work, because a lot of people, I mean, these are steps, and people that always want to criticize say, well, you haven't gotten to the Holy Grail yet, so you don't get any credit for what you've done. But someday, today we're trying to get a high school diploma. Then we want to get a high school diploma that really has much tougher to get. Then you want to get junior college, because 2 years of junior college is really what's required today on average to get into the middle class. And very soon it's going to be a four-year college degree. I don't think anybody has any credible plan as to how we could get a four-year college degree from a school that really is a good school. Doesn't have to be a prestigious school. Got to be a good school and teach people the skill sets they need. Otherwise, they're going to be left behind. And that's the direction this country is going. And other countries, some are doing better, some are doing worse. But in the end, you need to, we're going far afield. I'd start out the values that this country has. We should remember them. And we are fighting. We ask other people to fight for them. We should try to defend them here. And then we got to focus on getting more immigrants and education.
I need to take some money and put it on our table as well. It's 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. We've gone a little long right here, Mr. Mayor. Stick around. We're coming right back. And don't forget, we'll be taking your questions as well. Before we finish, what you need to do, if you've got the question for Mayor Bloomberg, 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710. Get in line now. Bloomberg, and again, a reminder, 800-321-0710 if you got the question. Finally, Mr. Mayor, a deal at the World Trade Center with Larry Silverstein.
Called me yesterday to say thank you. You know, I meant to call Bob Lieber. I should call him today, because Bob Lieber, who was deputy mayor for economic development and went off to the private sector this year, was the one really that he worked behind the scenes as hard as anybody. Chris Ward deserves a lot of credit. He is the executive director of the Port Authority. You know, it isn't easy. There's lots of different conflicting interests. You say, well, why not just go in a room and make a deal? You know, a million pages of documentation, there's no good answer to a lot of conflicts and overlaps, and you can't do everything.
They're going to build two more towers, though. That was the deal, right?
I think so.
$1.6 billion, I think.
I forget exactly how it comes out. They're doing the substructure and first floor for all of them, so that you could at least put retail there and then come back, build later on. But, you know, Condé Nast says they're moving into the Freedom Tower or One World Trade Center, whatever they call it now. I heard Bank of America was looking. I don't know if they are. But, you know, you get two or three tenants, that will fill up. For World Trade Center, the one that is going up, and that's probably 25 stories up in the air already, 20-odd, that will fill up easily. The bottom line is, and I hope it continues, but New York City's economy is doing well. Now, it's not enough to generate a lot of extra tax revenue to bail us out, but we never lost as many jobs as the Cassandras were saying in the financial sector or anyplace else. Thank goodness that was old Dan Doktoroff's thing of diversify, five-borough diversification, economic plan across industries. I filmed a little television skit as part of a television show. I don't know if they put it out yet. So yesterday, and the director and the lead in the show both said to me, we did five shows here. They live in California. He said, it's phenomenal. The unions here are, it's a little bit more expensive, but
Woody
they are
Allen
so much.
Said it's too expensive
no,
to go.
No,
to,
these
to
other guys say it's a touch more expensive, but it's so much more productive. And they said they couldn't believe how cooperative people were, whether it's the Mayor's Office of Film, Theater, and Television, Kathy Oliver, or the police department, or everybody else. And I've heard that Spielberg would tell you, if there were more sound stages, he would make a lot more movies here. And we employ maybe 100,000 people in this industry. So that's another fashion industry. We have double the number.
Fashion Week is coming up, what?
Coming up, yeah. And we have double the number of fashion houses here of any other city in the world. Some people say Paris. No, Paris is small compared to New York City. It's those things that you keep doing, and that's what's kept the economy going, and that is why construction will go on and the downtown stuff will get done. Downtown's become hot. The schools are hot. The parks are hot. You look on Wall Street and you see baby strollers, and you know, you didn't see that before. So our economy is doing well. The rest of the country, I don't know. That's the statistics are worrisome about the whole country. But
Paul Krugman in the New York Times today, a guy who's been a supporter of the administration's, right. He really came back hard and said, hey, you guys, don't stop telling us it's good, because it isn't.
Yeah. Well, you know, like everything else, it's some places yes, some places no. For some industries, yes, some no. Some people, yes, some no. You're never going to have everybody. But Muhammad Alarian, who's one of the chief portfolio managers at PIMCO and a really smart guy, he yesterday was talking about very worrisome things. And it is worrisome. The stimulus bill, in the end, didn't go to do what the stimulus did back in after the Depression in the early 30s. Then they built schools and bridges.
Tunnels. Most of what we have here.
Most of what we have was built in. I mean, I went to an elementary school, a junior high school, and a high school, all WPA projects. And this time, Congress did a lot of stuff which was operating and not long-term infrastructure. The objective, they would say, well, we got to get the money out there right away. But once you get it into Congress, this is the real world politics. I'm not knocking them, but the real world politics is everybody's got to bring home something, or the local press and commentators like you will blast our congressman didn't bring home something. Supposing you didn't need it, or some other place needed it more. Not relevant. Yeah, they're going to go after him. So we do have problems. My responsibility is for New York, and we kind of keep doing these edgy things. I don't know how you wade in, if you'll pardon the expression, on the three dumpsters that kids could swim in on Park Avenue. Did you get involved in that controversy?
No. I mean, when you and I talked about it briefly, I thought it was unusual, but I thought it was. I also saw the pictures of it, and they said that's pretty cool.
People loved it, and around the world, it's in the newspapers. People say, "Hey, New York is the happening place. New Yorkers come here." I had a meeting yesterday with a guy named Peter Ward, who runs Local 6. That's the union that represents the hotel workers. 100% of his people are employed. New York City has 7,500 more rooms this year than last. Think about this. And hotel occupancy is up close to 7%.
He must have been a happy camper.
He is a happy camper. His members are happy. That's what we should be doing. And that's what some of these art things do. That's what low crime does. That's what better schools does. People want to come to a place where they know you're trying to be compassionate and planning for the future, the environmental stuff, the fact that we are a leader in the environment. Helps around the world, around the country. People who care come here, spend their money. That creates jobs for the people. That creates business for your advertisers, so your job is tied to it as well.
All right, let's take our half-hour break here, get a fast news update from Joe Bartlett. We'll come right back again here. Let me see. I think we have a couple of lines open. You got to get through Mike Figliola. 800-321-0710. If you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, we will be right back. We roll on Friday, John Gambling Show, 27th of August. Mayor Michael Bloomberg is here, 21 minutes before 9 o'clock. Let me see. I'm not sure there's any room on the board left. 800-321-0710. Mike says maybe. He's shaking his head. Maybe there's another one there. We'll get to you on the phones in just a moment. How do you respond to allegations of...
I'm in favor or against. Well, no, I have a definite opinion, but I don't want to say it.
Be careful about what you say here. Allegations that there's pressure on police officers to keep crime stats down. What does Kelly tell you?
You betcha there's pressure to fight crime.
But to cook the books.
Yeah. No, you know, it's in this day and age, I love this, going to cook the books. With the press talking all the time, with everybody having Twitter and Facebook and everything, do you really think you could keep anything private anymore? Come on.
Doesn't seem to be.
You got it. So, you know, everybody, will they look on the favorable side? You know, you asked me, did we do a good job? Yeah, we did a good job on X. I could say we did a so-so job, but everybody's going to be favorable in their jobs. But no, there isn't any room. Even if you wanted to cook the books, it would be really hard. If you cook the books, it isn't going to stay private for very long. Somebody's going to find out about it. And then you're going to, the management, Kelly on down, is going to come down on you like a brick. And are there some bad people? There's always somebody who pushes and pushes too much deliberately or accidentally or gets caught into a scandal and it gets worse and worse and worse. But no. But is there pressure on the individual police officer or sergeant, lieutenant, captain, inspector, chief to... bring crime down? Enormous, and it's going to be more. We are not going to tolerate crime, period. Now, you know, the real world is you're never going to get it down to zero, and this year it's a touch worse than it was last year, but keep in mind you're at a 9-year low or a record low from last year, and we're going to keep the pressure on. Anybody that thinks that the police have an easy job is not realistic. Anybody that thinks that they aren't trying isn't realistic either. And if anybody that thinks they're not succeeding, only in a relative sense compared to last year, it's a touch worse, but they're not cooking the books.
You know, there is a problem, and I wasn't really going to bring this up.
But you are.
But it happened this morning. There is a problem that happens overnight, and it's not just confined to New York, but it is a problem. I almost got run over this morning while I was driving. At night, motorcycles, tuners, those little kind of cars, they come out in packs, and they run 80 and 90 miles an hour because they know that it's...
They all know how you're getting in, and they get on that road
to
annoy you. They say, I'm going to get that guy. Gambling, maybe he'll mention us, and then people will buy more of this.
I think the point is that that few people travel at that time of the night, and you have limited resource, but they know that the cops are...
Well, either that or it's possible that you just notice them more. I don't know, with fewer cars. Mm-hmm. Just out there. I just don't know whether... It'd be interesting. I guess I could... Maybe we have a study to see whether or not there are more motorcycles on the roads at night than during the day.
Or accidents.
Accident statistics, you have lots of numbers, and you can get those pretty easily in terms of time of day and when they occur and which day of the week and in what weather, that sort of thing.
All right, race to the top money. You got some. What are you going to do with it?
Well, the state won $700 million. Traditionally, New York City has gotten 40% of the state monies spent on education distributed to local counties, which is 62 of them. Five make up New York. We've always argued that 40% is too low because we have more English language learners and special ed kids and that sort of thing. And it's not fair, and even in terms of just the raw population numbers, but that's what we used to get. In the last couple of years, they've cut that back, unfortunately, so we've gotten a smaller percentage. If you got 30% of 700 is roughly $200 million. 40% is $300 million. It's over 4 years.
It comes with directions, does it not?
Well, first it's over 4 years, so it's $50 or $60 million a year. Keep in mind, that's a half of 1% of our budget, because we have a $21 billion school
budget.
Sounds
like a lot of money, but...
It's better than not. And yes, it has restrictions on what. But the good news is, the most important thing is the reforms that were made, and I love this, some people say, well, we didn't have to make all these reforms to win. We won by too many points. This is one of the... You're doing a good job. Not understanding what we're trying to do. I don't care about the kids. I just care about being able to say we won some money. That's fundamentally what they're saying. Michael Mulgrew, the head of the teachers union, and Ernie Logan from the principals union, less so, but the teachers union was the one that really carried the ball here. Joel Klein, Merrill Tisch, up in Albany, the state regents, they did their part. The legislature, you can criticize the legislature for a lot of things, but in the end, assembly was led by Sally Silver, and the Senate, led by John Sampson, came through, and the governor came through. And we got the reforms. The money will be nice, but the real benefit here is the reforms. And the teachers and the principals and everybody worked hard. It just, are we where we want to be? We're not remotely where we want to be, but we're going in the right direction. New York City, I love this, they change. The kids keep doing better, and we keep saying, let's raise the standards. When you raise the standards of what defines is what our objective is, they call it proficiency, but that's an objective. When you keep raising the objective, everybody says, oh, you didn't do as well as you said. This is the most dumb argument. It's a bunch of people that don't understand what the numbers mean. I mean, they should go back and take a math course. And the truth of the matter is, the kids and the teachers and the principals and school safety officers and parent coordinators and custodians, all working together, deserve an enormous amount of credit. We are going in the right direction. And you just get tired of this carping. It isn't enough, or it's not. If you'd done something else, you would have done better. Somebody once said that the glory goes to the people in the arena and not sitting up in the stands. We have too many people sitting in the stands.
All right, to throw a little kerosene on that issue, there was a story, I think it was the New York Times, that was saying that those new standards and the test scores that you're referring to about the widening gap, which really isn't true. But when it comes to the differential between minority and white student, that gap has expanded.
The gap has closed. Both have gone up. The minorities have gone up more. Now you can say, but what they're doing is they're saying, oh, well, we're going to change our standard, and that will point. Yeah, if we have a bunch of kids at the level twos, which is not satisfactory by the old definition, want to move them up to level threes. We have moved up a very large number of those into level three. Now we're going to redefine what level three is. Well, where are they in level three? Are they at the bottom of the top? They just entered it. They're going to enter at the bottom. So all of a sudden, sure, more drop back. And that's the group that you were making the biggest progress. But if you keep raising the standards, you get up to the top 1%, and everybody, the other 99%, is going to look bad. It's just playing with numbers. What you cannot refute, and what they refuse to even look at because it shows how they don't really understand what's going on, or however you want to phrase it, everybody in the state takes the same test. So, and I don't know, I don't want to get involved in the argument of is the test harder or easier year in and year out. Professionals say no, but regardless, how are city kids compared to the state do? How minority kids compared to the white kids do. Those are the same test, and the comparisons are legitimate. And they show that compared to, we went up 27% in graduation rate, I think it was, and the state went up 3%. The minority kids went up X percent, and the white kids went up significantly, but slightly less, so the gap is closing. Those are numbers that are real legit. And they say, well, it doesn't compare to the national thing. That's just not true. This national standard, this NAEP test, I think it's like 7 years in a row we've gone up. Each year it's a small amount, but in the aggregate it's a very significant thing. And it's like a whole year in education that we've gone up on that. And it just, people that have a vested interest in it, they're not running it, so they don't like anybody that is. Or they're just people who can't stand success. And no matter how much you do, they're going to say, but it's not enough. It's not good enough. You're not perfect. They don't bother to look in a mirror and see what they are. But, all you got to do is keep your eye on the ball. And the truth of the matter is the parents know. People moving into the city, not out. People are scamming the system and trying to say they're city residents when they're not, so their kids can go to public schools. When did you ever hear that before? Not in modern memory.
Not recently.
It used to be in the other direction. kids used to, people used to leave because the schools got bad. Today they want to stay here. And charter schools, we now can have more of them. I met a woman downstairs in your studios. I walked in. She is starting a new charter school, going to head it in Bed-Stuy. It's one of the New Horizon schools, I think they call it. And, you know, and I said to her, you know, what I do is great today, and maybe a little bit of it will be carried on, but what she does is going to go on for generations. She's going to change the world, and that's what our educators are doing.
We are a little bit more than a week away from the start of another school season, another school year. Class crowding size.
In some sense, a nice problem to have, mm-hmm. because I would rather you don't want people leaving the city. We have been building record number of schools. We've got a record number of schools opening this year, and kids aren't leaving the system. They're staying in the city. So I don't know what the numbers. It won't be very much change from last year. You can't give a straight answer to it right away because the bidding system is you bid for which schools you want, and then if you don't get in your first, you go to your second. You can don't get in that. You go.
Isn't
to your third.
That done already? Isn't that?
Yeah, by
that
now
process,
it is. So they can.
Process,
yeah,
right.
But there'll be some schools that have slightly more, some schools slightly less. There are these 19 schools we wanted to close, which are going to be vastly underpopulated. Why would you want to send your kid to a school that we think is a disaster and want to close, and only a court order is keeping us from doing it? And the judge said, "Well, you didn't. You put the information on the internet rather than on a piece of paper."
That's an insane story.
Well, in all fairness to the judge, if that's the law, his job is not to write legislation; it's to interpret it. If the legislature wrote it that way, yeah, it's a great story. If you want to open a restaurant, you have to have all these permits. You can do all these permits on the internet, so you don't have to schlep downtown. One minor problem. There's a law that says they have to be signed at the municipal building or wherever the office is, okay? So Steve Goldsmith, our new deputy mayor for operations, says, show me the law. Oops. We can't find the law. For two or three decades, everybody has assumed there was a law that you had to do that. And he was smart enough to ask, where's the law? It turns out there's not. So now we're changing the procedure. You don't have to do it. But you got to keep working. And I can go back and try to find somebody two or three decades ago and whip them. What's the point? Let's go forward.
We're going to do just that. We're going to go forward to questions from you on the phone. That will be next at WOR. All right, Mr. Mayor, we got some folks on the line here. Let us get right to them. We are going to start with Joe. Joe, you got the mayor. Go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, John. Thank you for taking my call. To my knowledge, with taxpayers' funds, you're supposed to buy American as much as possible, especially in a bad economy. My question is, how come in the city of New York you have traffic policemen driving Japanese cars?
You know, Joe, it's a great question. I don't know there's any legal requirement us to buy American, and we want people from overseas to know that we'll buy their products because we want them to buy our products. A lot of our jobs are based on exports. But we used to buy Chevys and Fords, and now I think we still do some, but it's Priuses and
we've got some Nissans. But a lot of those are made here.
No. The problem is, it's not the problem, not the reason we changed. We changed to get what we think is a more fuel-efficient car. But the Chevys and Fords, I think, were all made in Canada, and the Nissans and all those were all made in the United States, Tennessee, and other countries. So, you know, it wasn't necessary. I don't know that we necessarily tried to say we're only going to buy American. We're an exporting country as well as an importing country. We want the best for the public with their dollars. But it turns out the cars we are buying are made in America pretty much, and the cars that we have stopped buying were made in another country, namely Canada.
All right. Thanks for the telephone call. We move along to John. John, go ahead. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Your Honor.
Hi.
I just want you to comment on the fact that two stadiums, sports stadiums, have gone up, and it appears to me that progress is infinitely slow on the site of the future trade center.
Well, it took a long time, John, to get going, because remember, we've had in the last close to 9 years now, seven different governors combined from New York and New Jersey. And that matters because they control the Port Authority that owns the land and does the construction. And each time you get a new governor, they want to put their own guy in, and they got to stop and understand the issues before they can make some decisions. That slowed us down. You had a contentious issue between the insurance companies and the private developer. You've got the federal government and the state government and the city government. You've got two railroads running through it. You had lots of different questions about what should be built there and why. It's a very emotional issue, obviously. We want to memorialize. We want to send a message. We also want to have commerce. That's the future of this city. And given all of that, if you look back, maybe it could have done it a little bit faster. I don't know. But where we are today is there's 3,000 people working down there every single day. You'd be amazed at the construction. And when you say, you know, compare it to two new baseball stadiums and a football stadium maybe over in New Jersey, a stadium's the easiest thing in the world to build. It's a bunch of, you know, concrete and steel stands and nothing in the middle. And that's it.
No roof.
It's. I don't mean to make light of the job and the design, but compared to building buildings where the infrastructure, every single part of the World Trade Center is dependent on every other part. You can't touch one thing that doesn't have impact on all of the other buildings. Under one building is the electricity distribution system for all the other buildings. So if they don't get that, on top of that goes another building. But the side of it goes this, and this one depends on that wall to hold it up. And it is just a mind-boggling. I think it's probably fair to say there's never been a construction project as complicated as this. And I come back, you know, guys like Chris Ward really deserve a lot of credit. So there's, you know, we've got McGovern's down there working for the World Trade Center Memorial, making sure that we're doing, we're on budget, on schedule, which we are. And if you go down there, John, you'd be very pleasantly surprised. A friend of mine just took a tour of the Freedom Tower, or whatever it's called now, and took a tour of all of the Subway sandwich shop that's up there. Gets raised up as the building goes, so that people don't have to leave the building for lunch. And there's a locker room up there and that sort of thing. It just it's mind-boggling how good a job they're doing and how big. And yes, should have, would have, and could have. But you know, nobody remembers the Central Park. Was it built on time, on budget? No.
It was just not there. It was built.
Yeah, that's in the end the thing that really matters.
John, thanks a lot. Let's move along. Got Steve on the line here. Steve, it's your turn. Go ahead with the mayor.
Hi, John, Your Honor.
Hi.
During this conversation on the mosque, a lot of the pundits are bringing up about St. Nicholas Greek Catholic Greek Church in Manhattan that is not being allowed to be rebuilt.
Well, they just don't know what they're talking about. As a matter of fact, I talked to Chris Ward yesterday about that, and this is a controversial thing. There was a church built on St. Nicholas, had a church down there, got destroyed in the World Trade Center. It was a small church. There was a question of the location. I think the Archdiocese wanted I don't remember exactly. They wanted a different site, or they wanted a bigger site, and the Port Authority didn't have this. Anyways, it's gone back and forth, and they didn't have the money, and they did have the money. I think what Chris said yesterday is they've all come to an agreement, and they're chugging along, and they will build a great church down there. And, you know, it's whether it's a Greek Orthodox church or a Jewish temple or a Muslim mosque or whatever it is.
So it's your understanding the church will be rebuilt?
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that. The Archbishop of the Greek Orthodox Church lives across the street from me, and if you think I want him coming across with his staff and beating on my door and saying, come on, Mike, I'm not going to let that happen. He's a great guy, and this will get done. So it is getting done, Steve.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much for your telephone calls. Interestingly enough, next Friday I'm going to be taking the Labor Day weekend off, and I don't know what you have planned, but we'll catch up in a couple of weeks.
A West Indian Day Parade on Labor Day, Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn. Great parade.
All right. Enjoy yourself, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you very much. All right. Mayor Michael Bloomberg here. Joe Bartlett will be in the big chair here in Studio 4 on Monday and all next week. I hope that you will all have a great time and a wonderful Labor Day. We'll kind of group back up here right after that. Start of a new sort of season, fall season, school, work, and the rest of it. Till then, have a good one. 9 o'clock.